Welkom bij de podcast van Hour of Power Nederland. Je gaat nu luisteren naar de boodschap van Bobby Schuller. De boodschap is in het Engels. Liever met Nederlandse ondertiteling erbij? Bekijk dan de uitzending op hourofpower.nl of op ons YouTube kanaal.
As we do every week, hold your hands like this as a way of receiving from the Lord. Let's say this together. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with my neighbor. Thanks, you can be seated. This morning I want to talk about the importance of showing up, the importance of getting experience in your Christian walk and in your life in general, the importance of building long-term relationships, and we're going to find it in this sort of famous parable that Jesus gives. Now, this parable that Hannah read this morning, the very first thing this parable is teaching us is the availability of the good news. The availability and unfairness of the saving grace of God. That saves us not because of our works or because we're such good moral people or because we obeyed the rules right, but simply because Christ paid it all. That's available to us anytime we want, and how sometimes it can feel that's unfair. It's the availability of the gospel. You might know the name Constantine. He was a famous emperor who, when he was marching on Rome to take the throne, he claims there was a famous river, the Rubicon, and over the river he saw the famous symbol of Christianity at the time. It's called the Key Row. It looks like a P with an X through it. And he took that to mean that God was saying, take Rome and take the throne. As a king, as the Caesar, he's often called the first Christian Caesar, and I guess in a way he was. But really what he did is he did all the things. He allowed the churches to be built. He allowed Christians to worship freely. He hosted and took care of various councils in Rome. But he himself was not baptized until his deathbed. It was just that last moment he was baptized, he confessed Christ as his Lord, and he died, and he went to heaven. Now, many people in the world would say, hey, that's a lucky guy. Hey, he did it right. He played that hand perfectly. You see, he got to have all the women. He got to do what he wanted to do. He got to drink all he wanted to drink. He got to go to all the parties, got to sin like crazy, got to do whatever he wanted to do, and at the last second made the decision and still got to heaven. Lucky guy. Wrong. Maybe you're listening and you're a Christian and you say, hey, that's not a bad deal. I take that deal. That doesn't sound so bad to me. It's a little unfair, but hey, it's the rules. Play the rules. Play the hand you're dealt. If that's your feeling, I want to encourage you that there's probably more life in your faith than you're getting now. Anyone who says that Constantine was lucky is someone who's probably in bondage to religiosity, in bondage to all of the laws and rules, and someone that needs to experience the Holy Spirit today. See, I feel bad for Constantine. I feel bad for Constantine. Here's why. To be so close to the river of living water and to never drink. To be so close to the Lion of Judah and never follow him into battle. To be so close to the bread of life and never eat. To be so close to the tree of knowledge and never partake. That is a tragedy. I believe that there's a heaven and a hell. I believe some people go to heaven and some people go to hell. I believe the only way to get into heaven is to trust your life to Jesus Christ. He says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. The gospel is life today. It's worth preaching the gospel. A famous book was written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a book called The Cost of Discipleship. Famous minister who spoke out against Adolf Hitler and died in a concentration camp, and he paid a great price, and there is a cost to discipleship. But never forget, there is also a cost to non-discipleship. There's a cost to living life without the chain-breaking power of the Spirit of God. There's a cost to life of not living at peace with God. There's a cost to waking up every morning not knowing what your purpose or vision is for your life. There's a cost to waking up and not giving it your all for the Lord. There's a cost to waking up and not being amongst God's people and the joy and the power and the life that's in it. There's a cost to that. Nothing like eternal life, but there's so much more to it than that. There's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life that heals families, heals nations, heals bodies, heals minds, does miracles, wonder-working power in your life today. That's worth preaching. Amen? Isn't that worth preaching even at 9 in the morning? I think it is. Amen. So that's what this parable is about. It's about some people that got in early and some people that got in late. It goes like this. It says, Jesus tells us, there's this landowner. He's got a bunch of work that needs to be done. So he goes and he finds some guys and he says, come with me early in the morning. Let's go work in the field. And they get to working and he realizes, I need some more labor. I need some more guys to help. So he goes to the marketplace. It's 9 in the morning, still early. He says, you, come work for me. I'll pay you a denarius. A denarius is a day's wages. Let's say $150. We'll say $200. This is California, right? $200. So I'll pay $200. Still needs more work. Another guy at noon says, come work for me. I'll pay you day's wages. 3 p.m., see some more guys idle, standing around. Come, work with me. 5 o'clock, day's almost over. Only about an hour's left to work at work. He says, come work for me. I'll pay you. And then it comes time, the day's over, and the man comes to pay all of the workers. And here's what the Bible says. It says the workers were hired about 5 in the afternoon, and each received a denarius, so that when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. Now, when I was a kid, I thought this was so unfair. And it says, when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Hey, it says hey in the Greek. Hey! Those who were hired last worked only for 1 hour, they said. And you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered to one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? That's what we agreed on. That was a contract. That was a deal. Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Here's a great question. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? All right, here's a good question we can ask of this story. Who benefits the most? Morning guy or evening guy? Who benefits the most? Morning guy or evening guy? Now, both have a benefit. Evening guy's obvious, right? That one's easy. Evening guy only had to work an hour, still got $200. Got to go on home with this $200, right? Feeling good, still feeling fresh. Didn't have to work as much, it was easy. But here's what morning guy got and didn't even know it. On top of the $200 he got, morning guy got, number one, affirmation that he's in demand. He was the first one that was picked, the first one chosen. That says something to a man or to a woman. Number two, he's not sitting there worried all day, what am I going to eat for tonight? How am I going to pay for my kid's school or for my wife's this or for my house that? Number three, he got more on-the-job experience, which I'm telling you is worth a lot. And most important, and this is the most important thing to pull from this parable, he got more time with the master. He got more time with the boss. He got more time with the work giver. He got more time with the winemaker. He got more time with the visionary, the builder, the gatherer, the master. And that's all we can ask for in life, is more time with the master. That's the time that's worth it. You see, morning guy can't see it, but if he could see what I'm saying, he'd say, poor evening guy. Poor evening guy, he only got an hour with the master. He only got an hour in the field. He was standing there all day worried and got a little, at least he got some money. That's what he'd say. That's what he'd say. And that's what I say. But here's what God asks us to do, not to get through life, but to get from life. Get from life. Don't get through the week. Don't get through the day. Get from the day. There's so much to draw. Don't get through a challenge. Get from the challenge. Don't get through a lesson. Don't get through a sermon. Get from the sermon. Draw from it. Don't get through work. Get from work. And you'll see that your life will grow and it'll be excited and you'll be glad to wake up in the morning. Most of who you become is from being in the field and who you're in the field with. Don't forget it. I'm encouraging you this morning to want more from your Christian walk. I'm encouraging you this morning to want more from your Bible, want more from your church, want more from your life experience. I'm encouraging you this morning to make a bigger impact. I'm encouraging you this morning to touch as many lives as you can and to become more. Becoming more is what I believe starts with showing up. It starts with getting in the field and getting as much time in the field as you can. Becoming more starts with showing up. Don't ask God for less obstacles. Ask God to make you bigger than those obstacles. Don't ask God to make it easier. Ask Him to make you stronger. Don't ask God to prepare the road for you. Ask God to prepare you for the road. Don't ask God for fewer problems and challenges. Ask God to make you more experienced and to show you how you can become bigger and stronger in the spirit when you go through tough times. As my grandfather said, tough times never last. Tough people do. But in order to become a tough person, you've got to face those tough times and you've got to face them with courage. Amen? So here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you really want this kind of life, I want to encourage you to show up for life. Increasingly now, we live in a world where we just don't show up. We send a text. We don't show up. We apologize the next day. When the phone rings from somebody that we care about, we don't like to answer. When the email comes in, we don't like to reply. When we receive an invitation, when someone needs our help, too often we just don't show up. Somebody else will do it. But I'm encouraging you, be different than everyone else. Show up for life. Keep showing up and you'll keep growing up. Show up for your church. Show up for your kids, your grandkids. Show up for your spouse, even if you're tired. That's your spouse. They give you their whole life. Put a smile on your face. Show up for a friend in need. Show up for your class. Show up for a challenge. Show up for your team. You don't have to be perfect. Just show up. I took this wonderful class. I took it with Pastor Jim Koch. A pastor who's been in ministry here for a long time. Wonderful guy. Oh, and man, did we learn a lot in this course. One of the biggest questions is how do you help someone who's going through trauma? Whether they lost a loved one, or they're in the hospital, or some horrible surprise got them, how do you be a pastor to that person? And we learn that their temptation is so often to fix the problem, or to give advice, even if you're not a doctor. And really, that's not the solution. The solution often is to just show up, to just be there. He famously says, 90% is just showing up. If you remember anything I say this morning, it's not something I said, it's something Pastor Jim said, and I want you to remember this, 90% is showing up. Don't worry about what to say. Don't worry, the Lord will give you the words. Don't worry about this or that or anything else, just show up. That's 90%, and you'll figure it out as you go along. You might mess up, but at least you showed up, and that counts. Here's what you get when you show up to life. When you show up to the challenges, when you show up to touch somebody's life or to help somebody who's hurting, you get experience. You get to experience your life. You experience the doing. Yes, you experience the crying, but you experience the laughter as well. You experience the winning and the losing. You experience the power of God. And most of all, you experience the people who are doing it. And you develop the kind of relationships that will transform your life and the world. Can we just say this? Your dream cannot succeed without other people. Nor should it. Think about this. Jesus, whenever he sends the disciples out, he always sends them out two by two. Jesus would send them out without food. He would send them out without even sandals sometimes or without a jacket. He would send them out without a weapon. He would send them out with nothing, except he would never send them alone. Let us learn something from this. It's the only thing that they shouldn't be without is a partner or someone to do life with. The bigger your dream, the bigger your team. You have a big dream, you need to get a group of people around you, or you need to get in a group of people that are going somewhere or doing something, and you'll find that whatever it is you want to achieve, it's going to be impossible by yourself. And you just see the value of people. Okay? Not only is the bigger your dream, the bigger your team, the bigger your dream gets, the bigger the people have to be as well. And that's the other thing about developing people is you start to attract into your life big thinkers, people who have specialized knowledge, and most importantly, people you just have great chemistry with. It's hard to put something on that, but this is so important. The bigger the dream, the bigger the people. Do you have a ministry on your heart? You need to get around big people. And here's the biggest person you should get around you. Here's the person, the type of person, the person you got to get in your on your team. Here's one person. If you get around this person, your life will never be the same. Every dream will be achievable. Your life will be completely different, and his name is Jesus Christ. Just get around the Lord. Amazing how often we think about this person, that person, but we don't think about just getting around the Lord, you know? Hey, here's something I can promise you. If you get close to Jesus Christ, you're going to get around people who think and act like Jesus Christ too. If you say, I can't find those people. I can't find Christians where I live. I can't find people who have big dreams. I can't find people who are positive and full of life. Get around Christ, and you'll get around people who are getting around Christ. So often in life, we have all these problems we want to solve, and they're important to God. But very often, we forget the most important decision of all. The most important thing we can do is to be at peace with God, to be full of his power. I want to encourage you this morning to make a decision to follow Christ, and your life will never be the same. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar de podcast van deze week. We hopen dat deze boodschap jou heeft bemoedigd. Wil je meer weten over Hour of Power of dagelijkse bemoedigingen ontvangen? Ga dan naar www.hourofpower.nl.